Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be back in New York City with all of you wonderful Vaishnavs and Vaishnavis at the sanctuary here, which has just, I understood, recently been fully opened. I think this is the first full-on program.
Yeah, we had a
Gaur-Purnima. Gaur-Purnima. I'm the first guest speaker. Well, thank you very much. We'll be speaking this evening from the Bhagavatam. We're going to speak from the seventh canto, from chapter 8, which is entitled The Lord Slays the King of Demons. One of those verses. But, you know, Nisringadeva's appearance day is coming up very soon. I know it's Ram Navami on Sunday, but the Nisringa Bhakta is there. Nisringadeva's appearance. So I thought, as a precursor to coming up to that day, we would start lecturing from the seventh canto, which, besides all the bloody fighting and stuff like that, there's many very pertinent instructions for aspiring devotees, because, of course, Prahlad Maharaj is the central figure. It's not Hiranyakashipu. And we say central figure because he's the object of Krishna's mercy. And we, as aspiring devotees, we also want to become the object of Krishna's mercy. So by following in his footsteps, we can be successful. And therefore, the Lord has designated him as one of the 12 Mahajans, the great authorities. Although he's only five, he's a great authority in the science of Krishna consciousness. So if he can be an authority at five, hopefully we can become, you know, well-situated devotees by the time we're 95, by his mercy. So let's see, let's do verse 29. This is a classic. Vishvakshparandham graha naturam harir vyalo yatakum kulishak shata tvacham dvar yuryam apya dadhara lilaya nakair yatahim gurudo mahavishum visham. Translation: as a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisimhadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there, and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisimhadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. This is something like going to the end of the story to find out what happened. The whole seventh canto is actually about this wonderful pastime of the deliverance of Prahlad Maharaj by the causeless mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev. But you know, sometimes when you get a big, thick book, you peek at the end. So, you know, this is the first, perhaps, of a series on this trip now in America, but we're going to the end to get a peek preview. Purport: Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promise of Lord Brahma intact, Nrisimhadev placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which was neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction that he would not die either during the day or the night. Therefore, to keep this promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is the end of day and the beginning of night, but is neither day nor night. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Nrisimhadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons and were neither living nor dead. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time, they can be said to be alive. To keep intact all of Lord Brahma's benedictions, Lord Nrsimhadev paradoxically, but very easily, killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. Translation again. As a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrsimhadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there, and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrsimhadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Om Am Rim Shrom Om Fat Om Tataka Hataka Kesha Jalat Padaka Lochana Bhadarakanaka Sparsha Vishinha Namostute. I offer my obeisances, O my Lord, O Transcendental Lion. I offer my obeisances to you along with Mother Lakshmi, sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot. Your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. So this very wonderful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam describes the battle between Lord Nrsimhadev and the king of the Asuras. Prahlad Maharaj actually addressed his father as O king of the Asuras, and his father liked that name very much. Just like when we do initiations, we always try to pick a suitable name for the candidate, for the disciple. I actually spend hours going over the list to make sure that the boys have a nice, noble name, and the girls have a very sweet, pretty name of Radha or Lakshmi or Sita. I've never had a disciple come up to me afterwards and say, Gurudev, could you change the name? Handpicked. So because we're devotees, we like to be Krishna Das or Radha Das, like that. So because he was a demon, Hiranyakashipu, he loved this epitaph by his son. Oh, daddy, best of the Asuras, on his chest. Swelled up with pride. Yes. We are ashamed to maintain even the smallest, slightest material desire in our hearts. It's embarrassing. Actually, that's why a devotee, one reason a devotee is very humble, because although he's claiming to be a devotee, or others are claiming him to be a devotee, he knows honestly that in his heart there's still these nasty desires, which are a sign of our rebellion against God. But a demon, oh, he's very proud. The more you can materially glorify, you can glorify him for his material qualities, oh, he's very happy. The atheists are very proud to be atheists. They flaunt their authority in that way. They proselytize their theory of atheism. They stand by it. Oh, best of the atheists, thank you. So, this is a battle between good and evil, between the goodest of the good and the baddest of the bad. Just like when there's the championship boxing match. What do they call it? The world champion boxing match. Then so many people are watching, even those who are not so interested in boxing, because it's the battle of the titans. Everyone, Madison Square Garden, you know, this one against that one. Whoa, who won? So here's the ultimate battle between good and evil. And we know, as devotees from the onslaught, we knew what would happen. Because Krishna's ajita, he's unconquerable. No one can conquer him. And he says in Bhagavad Gita, for one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. So he's the pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva. And Hiranyakashipu is pure Asura. Sura means godly, and Asura means the ungodly. It's one extreme against the other. The battle of the time, the battle of the, they have their, you know, World Boxing Association. But here's, this is on a universal scale. Who's sitting in the grandstands? Well, the asuras on one side and the devotees on the other side. Something like when they, the demons and the devotees fought for the nectar in the milk ocean. They were churning the ocean of milk, like this. They were close side by side. Who will get the prize? So this is why devotees are attracted, because we're trying to become Shuddha Sattva. And by hearing these pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our hearts become purified. We all know how much Hiranyakashipu, this is actually taking place at the beginning of the universe, we all know how much Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha terrorize the universe. That's their recreation. When demons want recreation, they harass the innocent. When devotees have recreation, they go and sing and dance and distribute prasadam on Sankirtan for the welfare of others. Again, complete polar opposite. So just as devotees would like to be very good at helping others, this is our goal, to become more pure. Not so that we can become famous as big devotees, but we want to become pure so that we can be a valuable instrument in the hands of our spiritual master. And the desire burning very deep in his heart, in the innermost recesses of his heart, he's burning with the desire to deliver all the conditioned souls. So just as we have that desire, the demons have a very burning desire to cause trouble. And that's all. I just want to cause trouble. And when someone's in trouble, they laugh at that person's expense. So Hiranyakashipu, he's very good at that. So therefore, at one point, the demigods, who are administrators in this universe and are responsible for the welfare of the people, both materially and spiritually, because they take care of our material prosperity, as we've been speaking in some recent lectures. But they're also anxious for the deliverance of the souls from this world, because that's what their worshipable Lord is interested in. Like Father, like Son. So demigods, they have the burden of administrating all the management, but they're devotees. So they would like to see all these people delivered. So when it gets, the situation gets out of hand, they appeal to the Lord to come and rectify the situation. So Nrisimhadev came. But if we carefully analyze this pastime, we'll see that he didn't come so much to save the universe as he did to save his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Because the sufferings of this universe are more or less the resultant reactions of people's sinful activities. That's called global karma. We have our individual karma, we have our family karma, we have our country karma, just like our country's on the verge of a recession. We're embroiled in a war in Iraq. You know, this, we're paying our dues. The wages of sin is death. I won't get too heavy on that, but you know, of course, America's also a very opulent country, and there's religious freedom. There's a, you can express yourself openly like that. So it's mixed, good and bad. But then there's universal karma. Everybody all together as one, like you could say, social body or universal body. What we have done together, we are responsible for. So sometimes there's terrible events that shake the universe. What is it a result of? It's a result of all the bad things people did in the past. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. Or as they say in Australia, what goes around comes around. If you do good, good comes back to you. If you do bad, bad comes back to you. So after a while, it kind of all accumulates. It's like if you are in an area which is infected with a disease, and you breathe in the disease a number of times, the accumulated effect will be that you'll come down with the illness. So being in this Kali Yuga is very unfortunate, because even if you want to be good, you're practically forced to be bad, because of so much bad association. Especially in the schools. You send your child to school, and he's kind of sweet, innocent, naive, and by the time they graduate, they're a drug dealer, part of a gang. The Bloods and the Crimps and the Bloods or something they have in L.A. What happened to my son? Well, Prabhupada said you sent him to the slaughterhouse of materialistic education. So as a result of all the disobeying the laws of God, which are explained very clearly in Shastra, even not knowing them is not an excuse. You're supposed to know them. Human society is supposed to be governed by religious principles. Doesn't matter which particular religion, but in general, religious principles. Those are the laws of God. And you can't say to the policeman, I didn't know that this was, the speed limit was 40. Sorry, sir, it's posted everywhere. So there are religious books in every society by which human society can take advantage and guide themselves safely. If you follow the road signs, very few accidents. You reach your destination carefully. So the laws of God are not here to suppress us, but to liberate us. Krishna calls them the regulative principles of freedom. They're regulations, but they're meant to help you on a safe journey back home, back to Godhead. Disobey them? I didn't know. No, sir. Ignorance is no excuse. And then the karma comes down in a very heavy way in the universe. So God doesn't really intervene so much in that situation, because suffering these sinful reactions, as strange as it may sound to some people, is a way of purification. Just like if you're sick, when you're sick, doctors will tell you, in one way, sickness is a way of expelling the disease. When you have a fever, the fever is burning up the bad guys, the bad germs. The fire is there, burning up all your sinful reactions, so that at the end, you're somewhat purified. Just like Prabhupada said, bad dreams are also a way of using up karma, bad karma. So when the world was in turmoil, when the world is in turmoil, the universe is, it's a type of purification. So the Lord doesn't intervene, really. He doesn't really intervene in the people's the result of their sinful reactions. He intervenes when we call upon him for help. Just like the prisoner in the prison, finally he comes to his senses and he says to the judge, Judge, I repent, I will not do it again. May I please have probation, time off for good behavior? Yes, sir, you can go. But sometimes there's prisoners, they're very obstinate, I enjoyed killing that guy. They keep him in to the end of his term. So all this is going on, but with the living entity comes to his senses and he prays. As Rupa Goswami teaches us in his Padyavali, compilation of his favorite verses, he says, O my Lord, I'm drowning in this fathomless whirlpool of material existence. Please, just this one time, won't you extend your hand to save me? So it wasn't that the Lord necessarily appealed to the, or rather, reacted to the appeal of the demigods to save the universe like that. People were getting their just reward. But when Hiranyakashipu just touched a hair on the head of God's pure devotee, and God came from a long distance to rescue him. As the Bible says, the Lord so much loveth his only begotten Son. So the Lord loves his pure devotee. He loves all of his sons and daughters, even the ant, even the worm and stool. But they don't love him, so there's no reciprocation, because love means reciprocation. Love means giving more than taking, actually. So when the devotee expresses a desire to change his ways in this world and stop being selfish and I, me, and mine, and return to his original position as a servant of the Lord, and a loving servant of the Lord. It's very sweet to be the servant. It's hard to be the master. It's easier to be the servant, because that's our natural position. The Lord sees that, and he immediately responds. Krishna says, all of them, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Prabhupada said, God is so kind that if you just take one step towards him, he'll take 1,000 steps towards you. Just see how we've already been rewarded, quote-unquote, for a very cautious step forward. Yes, it's nice, the process, and okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. We stop our sinful activities. And for that, what do we get? We get a guru. We get Bhagavatam. We get Archavigraha, we get Prasad, we get Vrindavan, we get Mayapur, we get Puri. What have we done? We've just taken a cautious, like you just put your little toe in the water before you jump in. Let me see. And you get a flood of mercy. Imagine if you come to the point of Atma Nivedanam, if you really surrender to God. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya anartha nivriti syat. If you offer up to the Lord all your material attachments and beg for some tiny save at his lotus feet, and then there's a flood of the nectar begins to flow. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, that kirtan was ecstasy. And Prabhupada said, you do not know what is ecstasy yet. So don't hesitate to surrender. Like Prabhupada told Vishnu Jan Maharaj, one of the first things I heard when we sat down on the university lawn. Prabhupada said, you've been experimenting in this world for millions and millions of lives. You've done this, you've done that, you've been here, you've been there, you've done everything. Why not just give one life to Krishna and see what happens? Just, you know, we've done everything. So why not, okay, in this lifetime, I'm going to give everything to Krishna. You're not going to lose. You've tried everything else. You're not satisfied yet. So give one lifetime to God and see what happens. But no, we hold on, for, you know, just in case we have our wallet in our back pocket. But if that reciprocation is there, if you chant from the heart, you appeal to the Lord from the heart, then eventually you can be in a position like Prahlad Maharaj, where the Lord is ready to manifest a single incarnation just to protect one devotee. Who else did Nrisimhadev deliver? Well, he delivered his daddy also. But it wasn't like, you know, other incarnations where the multitudes are delivered. More or less, Nrisimhadev, God came just to rescue his one devotee. Sadavo hridayam mayam, sadunam hridayam tvaham, mad anyat te na jananti, naham tebyo manakapi. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Such a wonderful verse. It gives us hope, because we're struggling. We're in the first stages. We're coming out of the muck and the mire, the swamp of material existence. We're dragging ourselves out. And we see the shining light of inspiration, the Lord. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. So he came for Prahlad. And in the meantime, he killed Hiranyakashipu because he was very angry. Anger? Anger is one of the three gates leading to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. What's God manifesting anger? But everything about the Lord is of a transcendental quality. Just like iron is a metal and gold is a metal. They fall in the same category. Metallurgy, whatever they say, I don't know. But yes, they're both metals, but one is worth little and one is very precious. So the anger of the conditioned soul is connected to his sense gratification. When you get frustrated in sense gratification, you throw a tantrum. A baby tantrum or an adult tantrum, but it's all tantrum. But God, the object of his anger is not anything sensual or material. He becomes angry out of love. Divine love. You can sometimes get angry. A very, very gross analogy. If you're walking with your, you're a girl and you're walking with your boyfriend and somebody comes up and says, you know, you have the eyes of a camel and the, you know, the ears of a frog and the lips of a beetle or something. And you say to your boyfriend, are you going to do anything about this guy? Do you love me? You're going to let him speak like that? So if someone insults a devotee, the Lord's very, because the Lord loves devotees. Just like if someone insults Krishna, you're ready to stand up and defend Krishna. We should be. If the atheists say, there is no God, God does not exist, Prabhupada stands up and says, why is no one challenging these rascals? It's not anger, it's love. So love is reciprocal. Krishna doesn't like it when his devotees... A devotee doesn't take any offense. Oh yes, it's true. I have this body and it's ugly and it's a sign of my independence from God. You please insult it all you want. You're very... Help me to understand. It's like Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur. Once he was traveling, giving lectures, and there was one heckler in the audience, always standing up and saying, you think you're such a big devotee? You have so many disciples. They're worshiping you. Who do you think you are? Every lecture for a series of several weeks. And devotees wanted like... Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, no, leave him. A few days after the lecture tour, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati was in his quarters, which were upstairs, in where he resided, his headquarters in Mayapur. And the devotees were having kirtan downstairs. And then one devotee stopped the kirtan and he said, Guru Maharaj, please come, we have some good news. And Bhakti Sananda Saraswati came out of his quarters and there was the devotee said, what is it? He said, that rascal who was always blaspheming you, he died of a heart attack this morning. And all the devotees cheered. And Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, he blushed and he looked down and tears started flowing from his eyes and everyone became silent. Guru Maharaj, why are you crying? And Bhakti Sananda Saraswati said, no. He was helping me so much to become a humble devotee and not take credit for anything I have done. So I wouldn't become proud. I have lost a very dear friend. So, the Lord would... Anger is a sign of his love for his devotee. So he appeared before Hiranyakashipu for this offense. Kaput. Sprechen Sie Deutsch, ja? Nein? Mein Herr, sprechen Sie Deutsch, ja? Kaput means finished. Mrityu sarvaharashtraham. Krishna says, I'm all devouring death. So he killed him. But Krishna is Hari. Hari means he who takes away all inauspiciousness. So if he looks at you, he purifies your heart. Like Prahlad, he looked at him. Or Krishna looks at us now, he's looking at you. You should sit here as long as possible. Because darshan doesn't just mean you're looking at him, he's looking at you. And his vision is transcendental. My Lord, you're not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. So his everything about the Lord is auspicious, even his nails. The hot claws of Nrisimhadev pierced into the body, like you have butter that's frozen. You heat the spoon and then you can the knife, and then you can cut the butter very easily. So the hot claws of Lord Nrisimhadev pierce the strong chest of an abdomen of Hiranyakashipu, cut through his false ego. And he didn't just take out his intestines, he also took away his lust, his anger and greed. So he was liberated. Afterwards, Prahlad said, "What about Daddy?" And no, don't you worry, he's also liberated. Along with 10,000 of your relatives before you and 10,000 generations to come. Krishna's so amazing. Now, after defeating Hiranyakashipu, as a sign of his victory, the Lord sat on Hiranyakashipu's throne. He enjoyed the spoils, the booty of war. It's like, you know, sometimes the generals, after the troops fight tooth and nail, and they survive and they've conquered, then they get to go around and take the booty off the bodies, or sometimes they go into the town and they take the wealth, something for themselves. The booty, the spoils of war. So here's the throne of Hiranyakashipu. Actually, it was originally the throne of Indra, but Hiranyakashipu conquered and sat on that throne. So now Nrisimhadev, King of the Mountain. Remember that game, King of the Mountain? You're on a little rise and then all your friends try to knock you off and then they sit there, "I'm King of the Mountain." And somebody, "King of the Mountain, King of the Universe, King of the Cosmos, King of the War, King of the whole cosmic manifest, King of the everything." Ham Savasya Pavavo Matasarvam Pavartate, Krishna says, "I'm the source of all that is material and spiritual." He's the King of Kings, Supreme Ishvara. So he sat on that throne. And when he sat there, all the demoniac followers of Hiranyakashipu, no one protested. They remained silent. Why? Because they were very much afraid of his display of power. Remaining silent is sometimes a way of expressing your consent. Just like in a Christian wedding, before the priest consecrates the wedding, he says to the audience, "Does anyone in this audience object to this marriage?" And if no one speaks up, if they remain silent, it means they consent. Then he says, "Now I pronounce you man and wife." So silence can be a way of, you know, agreeing to the thing. So the demons agreed because of the power of God. They accepted his supremacy by force. Out of fear, the demons accepted him as master. Just like in Christianity, with all due respect. God, for the most part, he's presented as very powerful, very awesome, quick to judge, quick to become angry. So people bow down to God in the Christian church initially out of fear. You can control people by love, you can control them by fear. We're approaching God through love. He's so sweet, Krishna. He's so charming. He melts the heart. And he's very kind. But some people need a different approach. Again, the wages of sin are death. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you shall burn in hell forever, ever after. Okay. I just want to, please. But actually, worshiping the Lord in on reverence, you could say, is a beginning stage. Eventually, by following that path, you will come to worship the Lord with love. it's foolish to think that you can love God immediately. You don't even love anyone in this world immediately. First you meet someone, there's a formal introduction. Many times I meet people in my preaching, and Maharaj, this is the Secretary of State, you know, good afternoon, Condoleezza Rice. Or this is the president of the school. Nice to meet you, sir. You some standard greeting, a handshake and a greeting. Good morning, sir. Like that. Then you sit down at the luncheon and you start talking and you become more relaxed. And hey, what's your first name anyway? Fred. You don't call me by my official name. Call me Fred. After a while, you know, after the initial formality, there's some association, some appreciation, then some loving sentiments like that. So the same truth holds true in our relationship with God. The formality must be there before the love. That's called Vaidhi Bhakti, Sadhan Bhakti. It means following the formal rules and regulations of devotional service. Don't eat meat. Don't take intoxication. Don't have illicit sex. Don't gamble. Do associate with devotees. Do read Bhagavad Gita. Do chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna. And we come before God. He's dressed as he is in Vaikuntha, not in Vrindavan. What are the deities' names? Radha Muralidhar. This is not how Krishna dresses in Braj. He has a little dhoti, and he's got a little one little wrapper, and he's got a garland, and he's got, you know, peacock feather kind of hanging down here, and he's dusty from herding the cows, and he's laughing and he's joking, and Radha has a simple, like, sorry, you could say gopi skirt, just like king and queen here. Prabhupada said we're worshiping Radha and Krishna as Lakshmi Narayan to instill in us an understanding that God is very great and we are very small, that he's the master and we're the servant, we're maintained by him, we're dependent on his mercy, and we're dependent upon his love. To immediately think of Krishna as my friend, my child, my lover, this is sahajism, cheap devotional service. So we start first things first. Prabhupada said that the first principle of love is obedience. When Lord Chaitanya agreed to accept Jagai and Madhai as his personal disciples, bear in mind, Jagai and Madhai, for all they were, they became, their Diksha Guru was Lord Chaitanya. Wow. But they had to agree to give up their sinful ways and embrace the process of sadhan bhakti. Need to be obedient. And then after the formalities, then there comes, you know, raganuga, it's more spontaneous, and then bhav, and then love, divine love. So we're on the right path. So the demons in this verse, they became obedient only after seeing a forceful display of the Lord's power. And Lord Nrisimhadev, he had no hesitation to sit on that throne, the throne of his enemy. Generally, you would consider such a sitting place to be contaminated. Because that was the place from which Hiranyakashipu ordered his servants. Go to the earth planet! Uproot all the sacred trees! Pollute all the sacred rivers! Kill the brahmanas! Kill the cows! Stop all performances of sacrifice! Wipe from the very face of this earth anything godly and establish my supremacy. So where he was sitting, where he gave the command, oh, that place is like contaminated. Just like one time Prabhupada went into John Lennon's estate in Tittenhurst, and he walked around. Nobody couldn't figure out. Prabhupada walked around tapping his cane on the walls of John Lennon's estate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. What are you doing, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, now all the ghosts are gone. The whole atmosphere of Kali Yuga is polluted by the sinful activities and the sinful mentality of the people. When Prabhupada went to court one time, he had to go to court, imagine, in Calcutta. And he walked in, he said, this place is very impure. Chant. All the disciples, what? You're going to court, there's the judge, there's the jury. But it's chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Okay, now the atmosphere is clean. And one devotee said, what was the problem? Prabhupada said, the lawyers are telling too many lies. So you would think that the Lord would not sit in such a contaminated place. But he had no hesitation to do it. Why? Because he's the source of all auspiciousness. And wherever there's Krishna, all inauspiciousness flies to a distant place. You may go to a very contaminated place, but if you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, you will not be influenced by that impurity of that place, and that place will not remain impure for very long. When I was doing Sankirtan, one of my favorite places for distributing books in France was the boucherie, La Boucherie, where they have all the dead animals hanging. The butchers were always really gross guys, but I could, like, you know, kind of jive with them, come in with my dhoti, I do Sankirtan in my dhoti, big tilak, a garland on. Hey, look at this funny guy! And I'd like, hey, look at you funny guys, you're funnier than me. Hey, man, give me five. No, we didn't do like that, say five in those days. But just like that. And then, you know, very often they take a book. And sometimes the devotees say, be careful. I say, no. What's more powerful? The most impure thing or one single name of Krishna? We learned that from Prabhupada. You go in, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, like that. So Nrisimhadev, by sitting there, instantaneously that place became like Vaikuntha. And what's more, he wasn't afraid to sit there. Why? Because he was sitting on the throne of his fallen devotee. Yes. Because Jai and Vijay, when they fell, they became Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Then they became Kumbhakarna and Ravana. Then they became Shishupal and Kamsa. And then they became Jagai and Madai. They were actually his devotees. It was all orchestrated by the Lord. Of course, there's a very instructive pastime that Kumaras came and Jai and Vijay, who were the guardians of the pearl gates to Vaikuntha. They stopped them. Who do you think you little boys are? They were actually great sages, keeping themselves as young children so they were not affected by sex desire. The stumbling block for every transcendentalist. So they kept themselves young by their mystic power. They didn't have to worry about all that stuff. But they didn't the Jaya and Vijaya didn't recognize their transcendental care, and they cursed them. Or they would not allow them into Vaikuntha, so the four Kumaras cursed them. And Lord upheld that curse. Why? Prabhupada says, very interesting. He said, because in Vaikuntha, everyone worships him with awe and reverence. But Lord likes to sometimes play with his devotees. He likes to wrestle. He likes to fight. Where does the fighting spirit come from? It can't be here unless it's there. Everything that's in the spiritual world is here in the material world except lust. Everything is in the spiritual world. You won't find lust in the spiritual world. Or envy, envy. So Lord has this fighting spirit, and he can't, everyone's worshiping him as the master. You want to fight? No, 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 Lord. You're the master. Servant shouldn't fight with the master. So Lord arranged the whole thing that he could come down in this world and wrestle with his devotees, so to speak. But Jai and Vijay were very conscientious. When they got cursed, Lord Vishnu said, so you can go and come back very quickly. You take three births as devotees, Or you can take, or you take three births as demons, or you can take seven births as devotees. So what did they do? They could have got back really quickly. Really quickly. By becoming demons. If they stayed away, if they said they'd be devotees, it'd mean seven births away from their service. They didn't want to inconvenience the Lord. Devotee doesn't want to. He wants to serve, not inconvenience. They said, rather than take seven births and be away for a long time, we'll take birth three times as devotees so we can come back and guard the gates to Vaikuntha. That's devotee. He'll go to hell for Krishna if necessary. Just imagine if you were asked, take birth three times as a demon and fight with him. Whoa. This just shows how surrendered they were. They showed their true colors. And we should also have the same mentality in our relationship with spiritual master. Whatever he asks us to do, of course he won't ask us to be a demon, but we should be surrendered. So they became demons. But how is it it sounds like they turned it up too loud. How is it that accepting the role of a demon is devotional service? Because it's fulfilled the Lord's desire. But even if you take it that Jaya and Vijay were fallen because of their error or their offense at the four Kumaras, still we see that Krishna rescued them. He says, Konteya patijanahi name bhakta panasyati. O son of Kunti, declared boldly, my devotee will never perish. So even though they fell from Vaikuntha, Lord was so kind to come and rescue them. Just like Lord Chaitanya, when one of his personal servants left his camp and went to join the gypsies, then Mahaprabhu personally went into the camp of the gypsies and grabbed that Krishnadas back by the hair. So we can have faith that just as Lord came to this world and by doing one thing, accomplished many things. He protected Prahlad Maharaj and gave the opportunity for Jaya and Vijay to rectify themselves and come back. So also we're included somehow. Prabhupada said of the reasons the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita that he comes, paritanaya saranam vinashaya to duskritam, deliver the devotees, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of religion. He says, really, the Lord comes to rescue his devotees. Because as far as annihilating the demons, there can be a hurricane, Catherine. Not that those people were demoniac, but my point is that Lord can act in very amazing ways, establishing the principles of religion. He did that in 45 minutes by speaking Bhagavad Gita. That's pure Dharma right there. You know what religious principles are? Just read Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses, very concise. But really the Lord comes to this world to rescue his devotees. So if we want to be rescued, we just have to show the Lord a little love, because more than anything he's attracted by love. And he'll notice you. How many countless living beings are there in this room? How many countless living beings are there in this city of New York, in the state of New York, in the country of America, in the world, in the universe, in the solar, in the cosmos? Whoa! So many. How will Lord notice me with my budding devotion? Like, you know, the pure devotee is that they have a Their creeper of devotion has manifested as a beautiful tree with flowers and turning into fruits of mature devotion, which they're offering. Like Prabhupada said, the seed of bhakti is planted, then it grows into a tree, and that tree grows and pierces through the coverings of the universe. It even goes through the Vaikuntha planets, and it goes to Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost planet in the spiritual world, where it sits at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and produces fruits of love, of pure love of God. That's you. You're compared to the tree. Your devotional service, your devotional creeper. Hey, that's a big, powerful tree. It's growing through the sky. It's going past the moon, past the sun, past the stars, past, you know, Indralok, Shivalok, Brahmalok, past all Ayodhya Dham, Dwarka Dham, all the way. Wow! No wonder Krishna can see it. What about me? My little creepers, like, you know, the first day of spring, this little green knob appears, like, who notices it in the cold earth of New York? You only notice it when it gets to be like a daffodil. You know, oh, look at the daffodil. Daffodils are smiling. They noticed us. Hey, they noticed us. Hey, they're coming to pick us. Ah. What's my devotion? It's just a tiny, tiny little whatever. Maybe no one notices a child taking his first step, but the mother and father notice. Maybe no one notices the child's first words, but daddy knows. He said, Dada. No, he said, Mama. Sometimes our children say, Babubad. Like my son, when he was young, Gaurashakti, he's in his 30s now, mid-30s. I was carrying him on my shoulders in his diapers. That was very dangerous. Hare Krishna. I won't go into details of some of the excursions we had. But he was on my shoulders, and Prabhupada was visiting New Mayapur, and Prabhupada was in the chateau in his room, and he looked out, and my son saw him. My son had not spoken yet. And he looked up and he saw Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada! I go, oh my God. And Prabhupada's in the window and Prabhupada waves at him. Prabhupada! Prabhupada! Whoa! Hold on, kid. Hold on. He like went wild. Then I told my former wife, I told his mother, and she went, our little ray of Vishnu. And Prabhupada said that night at the darshan, he said, I have seen the children, how they are treating me like old friends, as if we knew each other in previous life. And I went, whoa. But that was, anyway. That's how the father takes it. I was just making an analogy. Like, you know. So the first word, the first step, the first song, like we were in the car and driving, and Mayapur Chandra's brothers have children, and they're very cute. Where are they now? Little Prahlad and?
Keshava.
And we're talking, you know, business in the car and some politics, and they're in the back, Radhe, 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 Ji, 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 Shi, Radhe. Be quiet! Radhe, 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 quiet, Radhe! And they said, Shyam, right? But in Gujarat, you say something. There he goes. You say something, not so much Shyam Sundar, but what is Gujarat? Kanailal. But they're saying, and they said, not even saying our Gujarati language, they were complaining, their parents. But they're singing Braj. Radhe Shyam! So this is giving great pleasure. Like that. So although the your budding creeper is very small, Krishna notices. He's so kind. Chanaka Pandit gives a very nice analogy. He said, just like there may be a herd of calves, because in India they keep the, they keep the calves separate from the cows, because the calves will drink all the milk. And we need the milk. Actually, a cow produces more milk than is required for her calf. by nature's arrangement for human society. These vegans don't understand that. This is, you know, but the cow naturally, she produces milk for the human society. Of course, we don't agree with the way they mistreat the cows, but in principle, universal law is cows producing milk. So you have to keep them separated a little bit, a lot of bit, a whole lot of it. But Chanakapana says in his Niti Shastra, just as a herd of tens of thousands of little calves, all different cows and different mothers, a mother cow can spot her calf in the midst of a multitude of calves, her own calf, that's my calf, and she runs to her calf. In the same way, God can see his devotee in the multitudes of mankind. That's the nature of love. Love reigns supreme. Love is such a powerful thing. It's like the most powerful magnet. Even in this world, the perverted reflection of love, which we call lust, is so powerful. It's like the magnet turned around. The magnet to the piece of metal. But you turn it around, it repulses. So when we come to this world, our love for God is manifest as love for matter in the form of a woman for a man or a man for a woman. Pum sha stariya mituni bhavantayo mito hridaya granti moho. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Based on this misconception, one becomes attracted to the partner, to the children, to the home, to the paraphernalia. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Of course, it's a gradual process to purify that, and husband and wife can do it together, become attracted back to God. That's the real beauty of relationships between men and women and marriage in this world. But very powerful. So if that is true, you know, you read about the heroes and the heroines, how they sacrifice and what they'll do for each other in this world. So if that's true, and that's only a perverted reflection of divine love, where the heart is fully satisfied when connected with the divine lover, God. God is the divine lover, because whereas an ordinary man or woman can only satisfy a few of their family members or extended family, or at best, humanity, what to speak of the cosmos, the living entities. God, he can perfectly reciprocate and satisfy the loving desires of every living entity in creation. Spiritual and material, and they're unlimited. This is God. He's the divine lover. So if you show even a budding of love, and someone can say, but that loving, like Prabhupada said one time, bhakti begins from the point where you are free from sex desire. So you can say, you know, oh, it's a long, long, it's a long road to Tripurari, it's a long, long way to go. In the 20s. I heard it from my grandfather. It's a long, long way. It's a long road, but Lord is so kind that he takes your vow to give up, or to try to give up, material life and try to embrace the path of bhakti. He takes that as bhakti. Just like the babbling of a child, the mother say, oh, she calls up her friend, my child started talking today. What did he say? Doesn't mean anything. Oh, you don't understand. It means he loves me. So God takes it like that. Even if you can't pronounce his name right, like they say in Russia, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Gurudev, Darshan, Gurudev, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Gurudev. A Guru Deva, Krishna. So like, you know, that's not how Prabhupada chanted Hare Krishna. Or like in England, you know, Hare Krishna, Babu, please pass there is water. You know, when I say Hare Krishna, you have a funny accent, they say. Hare Krishna. They always make the fun of us Americans in Europe. Hare Krishna. you know. But Krishna, no, Krishna, he knows the heart. So even if the pronunciation may not be perfect, even the offering itself may be imperfect. What offering can you offer to God that has any significance? It belongs to Him already. It's like going to your daddy's wallet and then taking $100. Dad, I got this for you. And dad says, thanks, son. And the son's so happy that God loves. Whatever, we just like offering water back to the Ganges, like a candle to the sun. What is it really? It's the devotion that's there. And even if you don't have that devotion in the beginning, at least you can have appreciation. Because appreciation will turn into affection, and affection will turn into love. So even in the beginning, if you don't have, if you just desire to have it, that's devotion. Prabhupada said, if you don't have bhakti, he said, just desire to have bhakti, and that's acceptable. And how does that manifest? By your strict adherence to the path of sadhana. Just like we can know who's a serious student, who will probably eventually get a degree, those who hit the books, who do their homework, who listen in class. There's no degree yet. There's no knowledge there yet. But because they're following the prescribed path of graduation, we accept you're a good student. We give them scholarship to encourage them. So we don't have vigyan. We don't even have knowledge yet. We're just beginners. But because we're strict and we're obedient, God continues to inspire us and He accepts, yes. First principle of love is obedience. So if we want to love God, then we have to very strictly follow the rules and regulations as they are given by our acharyas. There's no shortcut. There may be some shortcuts. You may get some guru kripa. You may get some Krishna kripa. There's some, a few instances down through history. But don't wait too long because we don't have much time. The Lord accepts it. So He sees you're getting up and showering at the Brahma Muhurta. Don't think He doesn't know. How, He knows. He's in your heart. He's watching everything you do. And when you sit down and you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. He says, all right, I'm accepting your initial appeals. This is Krishna consciousness. So there's much to be learned from this very beautiful chapter. This beautiful chapter of, you know, you know, fighting and blood and intestines and, you know, but within it, there's some very beautiful lessons. Because Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee and we're aspiring, so we're following in his footsteps. We were following in the footsteps of Hiranyakashipu. We were very loyal followers. Because he was following the path of Privitti Marg, the path of sense enjoyment. And he was the leader. But we want to follow the path of Nivritti Marg, which means gradual renunciation culminating in devotion. So we will follow Prahlad Maharaj. Very carefully. We may be slow, but it's sure that in the course of time, you're following the right path. Just like if you have those, what are those things, GPSs? Right? Don't argue with her. Bhakti Bere, she's, you know, turn right, turn left. Of course, sometimes she does make a mistake, especially when there's some new road construction, but just follow her in that little thing that she's talking, and you follow. And as many turns and little hills, and I don't think this is the right way, just keep following. Don't speculate. Just keep following. Slow but sure wins the race. It's better to be going slow in the right direction than hell-bent for leather, as they say in this country, in the wrong direction. And we are on the right path, rest assured. And in due course of time, you will reach maturity in Krishna consciousness. And you will go back home, back to Godhead, by Srila Prabhupada's grace. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki.